理课堂听 class.com。
College English Test, Band 4.
Part 1.
Listening Comprehension.
Section A.
Now you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1. Hi, Jim. What are you doing?
Oh, hi, Linda. I'm working on a report on energy sources for my environmental science class.But I'm having trouble finding enough information.
You know, we were talking about sources of fuel in my class today.
Yeah?
Professor Collins, he's an authority on energy sources. He was telling us about a new way of getting fuel oil from coal.
I didn't know that was possible.
He said something about coal being set on fire and exploded with a mixture of steam and oxygen.This process produces a gas made up of hydrogen and carbon, the basic elements of oil.
And then they do something to change that gas to oil?
Right. First, since coal contains fewer hydrogen atoms than oil, they have to add some extra hydrogen to the gas. Then impurities are washed out with methanol, I think.Before this, the gas is sent on to reactors where it's changed into oil.
Since coal is so plentiful, I guess it won't be long till this new type of oil will be available all over the place, hey?
I doubt it. Professor Collins said that something about the process is not being economical enough to use in this country. At any rate, you really ought to talk to him. He'll be able to help you more than I can.And he's got office hours all afternoon today.
Thanks. He's in the office, right?
Right.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What are the students mainly discussing? Question 20. How did the woman learn about the process she describes? Question 21. What does the woman mention as a disadvantage of the process she describes?Conversation 2. Hey, Sue, I was wondering if you could fill me in on Monday's class. I had to go to the dentist for an emergency and I missed Professor Smith's lecture. What was it on?
It was pretty interesting. She talked about volcanoes, active volcanoes, under the, West Antarctic ice sheet.
There are active volcanoes under the ice?
Apparently so.She said they help protect the ice sheet and prevent melting. Flooding would be pretty bad if that ice melted, not only there, but all over the world.
You lost me there. Volcanoes are hot. How can something hot prevent ice from melting?
Wait a minute. Let me check my notes. Yeah, here it is. Volcanic heat melts just enough ice to create a slippery surface on the bottom of the glacier.This water allows ice to flow out into the ocean, so the solid interior ice is protected from the ocean's warmth. Does that make sense?
Sort of. You mean that because the ice is flowing out to the ocean, the warmer ocean water can't flow in?
Exactly. And the ice that melts is constantly being replaced by snow. Professor Smith said that if the ice sheet ever broke up and melted,The sea level would go up 7 meters. Then we'd have those floods.
Is that really possible? or is it one of those exaggerations you hear all the time?
As far as I can understand, it is possible, because of global warming. I mean, if the ocean got a lot warmer, that interior ice would be very likely to melt.
Thanks for telling me about the lecture. Sounds like I missed a pretty important class.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 22. Why did the man ask the woman about the lecture? Question 23. What was the topic of the professor's lecture? Question 24. What information confused the man? Question 25. According to the woman, what protects the interior ice from the warmth of the ocean?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. My father woke me up early one morning when I was 14 and announced, "Get up. You are going with me to cut grass." I felt proud and excited because my father thought I was responsible enough to help him in his business. Still, that first day was very hard. From sunrise to sunset, my father, my younger brother, and I cut and trimmed very large yards in a well-to-do part of the city. By the end of the day, I was exhausted, but I felt good. I had put in a hard day's labor and had earned $6. One day, my father spotted some leaves I had missed cutting and pulled me aside. "Cut that section again," he said firmly, "and don't make me have to tell you to do it again." The message was clear. Today, I stress the importance of doing a job right the first time. In every job I have held, from cutting lawns to washing dishes to working a machine on a construction site, I have learned something that helped me in my next job. If you look hard enough, you can learn from any job you do.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26.
How did the speaker feel when his father asked him to help cut grass?
Question 27.
What did his father do when the speaker missed cutting some leaves?
Question 28.
What did the speaker want to tell us in this passage?
Passage 2. I live in a small village in the country. My wife and I run the village shop. We have a very peaceful life. Boring, some might say, but we love it. We know all the people in the village and have plenty of time to stop and chat. I have plenty of time for my hobbies, too. Gardening, fishing, walking in the countryside. I love the outdoor life. It wasn't always like this, though. I used to have a really stressful job, working till late at the office every evening and often bringing work home at the weekend. The advertising world is very competitive, and when I look back, I can't imagine how I stood it. I had no private life at all, no time for the really important things in life. Because of the pressure of the job, I used to smoke and drink too much. The crisis came when my wife left me. She complained that she never saw me and that I had no time for family life. This made me realize what was really important to me. I talked things through with her and decided to get back together again and to start a new and better life together. I gave up tobacco and alcohol and searched for new hobbies. Now, I'm afraid of looking back, since the past life seemed a horrible dream.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 29. What did the speaker use to do for a living? Question 30. What do we know about the speaker's life in the past? Question 31. What made the speaker change his lifestyle? Passage 3. Where is the university? Is a question many visitors to Cambridge ask, but no one could point them in any one direction because there is no campus. The university consists of 31 self-governing colleges. It has lecture halls, libraries, laboratories, museums, and offices throughout the city. Individual colleges choose their own students, who have to meet the minimum entrance requirements set by the university. Undergraduates usually live and study in their colleges, where they are taught in very small groups. Lectures and laboratory and practical work are organized by the university and held in university buildings. There are over 10,000 undergraduates and 3,500 postgraduates. About 40% of them are women, and some 8% from overseas. As well as teaching, research is of major importance. Since the beginning of the 20th century, more than 60 university members have won Nobel Prizes. The university has a huge number of buildings for teaching and research. It has more than 60 specialist subject libraries, as well as the university library, which, as a copyright library, is entitled to a copy of every book published in Britain. Examinations are set, and degrees are awarded by the university. It allowed women to take the university exams in 1881, but it was not until 1948 that they were awarded degrees.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 32.
Why is it difficult for visitors to locate Cambridge University?
Question 33.
What does the passage tell us about the colleges of Cambridge University?
Question 34.
What can be learned from the passage about the libraries in Cambridge University?
Question 35.
What does the passage tell about women students in Cambridge University?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard, or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
The Library of Congress is America's national library. It has millions of books and other objects. It has newspapers, popular publications, as well as letters of historical interest. It also has maps, photographs, art prints, movies, sound recordings, and musical instruments. Altogether, it has more than 100 million objects. The Library of Congress is open to the public Monday through Saturday, except for public holidays. Anyone may go there and read anything in the collection. But no one is permitted to take books out of the building. The Library of Congress was established in 1800. It started with 11 boxes of books in one room of the Capitol building. By 1814, the collection had increased to about 3,000 books. They were all destroyed that year when the Capitol was burned down during America's war with Britain. To help rebuild the library, Congress bought the books of President Thomas Jefferson. Mr. Jefferson's collection included 7,000 books in seven languages. In 1897, the library moved into its own building, across the street from the Capitol. Today, three buildings hold the library's collection. The library provides books and materials to the U.S. Congress and also lends books to other American libraries, government agencies, and foreign libraries. It buys some of its books and gets others as gifts. It also gets materials through its copyright office. Anyone who wants copyright protection for a publication in the U.S. must send two copies to the library. This means the Library of Congress receives almost everything that is published in the United States.
Now the passage will be read again.
The Library of Congress is America's national library. It has millions of books and other objects. It has newspapers, popular publications, as well as letters of historical interest. It also has maps, photographs, art prints, movies, sound recordings, and musical instruments. Altogether, it has more than 100 million objects. The Library of Congress is open to the public Monday through Saturday, except for public holidays. Anyone may go there and read anything in the collection. But no one is permitted to take books out of the building. The Library of Congress was established in 1800. It started with 11 boxes of books in one room of the Capitol building. By 1814, the collection had increased to about 3,000 books. They were all destroyed that year when the Capitol was burned down during America's war with Britain. To help rebuild the library, Congress bought the books of President Thomas Jefferson. Mr. Jefferson's collection included 7,000 books in 7 languages. In 1897, the library moved into its own building, across the street from the Capitol. Today, 3 buildings hold the library's collection. The library provides books and materials to the U.S. Congress and also lends books to other American libraries, government agencies, and foreign libraries. It buys some of its books and gets others as gifts. It also gets materials through its copyright office. Anyone who wants copyright protection for a publication in the U.S. must send 2 copies to the library. This means the Library of Congress receives almost everything that is published in the United States.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
The Library of Congress is America's national library. It has millions of books and other objects. It has newspapers, popular publications, as well as letters of historical interest. It also has maps, photographs, art prints, movies, sound recordings, and musical instruments. Altogether, it has more than 100 million objects. The Library of Congress is open to the public Monday through Saturday, except for public holidays. Anyone may go there and read anything in the collection. But no one is permitted to take books out of the building. The Library of Congress was established in 1800. It started with 11 boxes of books in one room of the Capitol building. By 1814, the collection had increased to about 3,000 books. They were all destroyed that year when the Capitol was burned down during America's war with Britain. To help rebuild the library, Congress bought the books of President Thomas Jefferson. Mr. Jefferson's collection included 7,000 books in 7 languages. In 1897, the library moved into its own building, across the street from the Capitol. Today, 3 buildings hold the library's collection. The library provides books and materials to the U.S. Congress and also lends books to other American libraries, government agencies, and foreign libraries. It buys some of its books and gets others as gifts. It also gets materials through its copyright office. Anyone who wants copyright protection for a publication in the U.S. must send 2 copies to the library. This means the Library of Congress receives almost everything that is published in the United States.
This is the end of listening comprehension.